We're so glad that you came back today because we are going to continue our conversation article, aren't we, Ruth?
Yes, we are. And yesterday we said we would tell you the rules of conversation.
Right. What else did we talk about yesterday?
Well, yesterday we talked about also making conversation a priority, which I had never thought about before. You also mentioned that, Doris. I just thought conversation basically becomes a priority because it's normal for everyone.
Well, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's not rocket science. Exactly.
Yesterday, we also talked about how it's actually very difficult for kids of this new generation to have a good conversation. A lot of kids seem to be spending more of their time texting or chatting on their cell phones.
And that allows them to bypass actual conversation because they can just communicate with a text.
Well, one of the problems, I think, is that people aren't having as large families as they used to. I came from a larger family, and there was always plenty of conversation going around. But if you're an only child or there's somebody who's 2 or 3 years older than you, you don't see them very often. You don't even have conversation in your family, and your parents are working. So that really didn't help out on the conversation part.
No, it doesn't. You need to have people to have a conversation.
That's right. I grew up with, we had 6 kids in our family, and that was always going on in the house. We were always having a conversation.
There were 8 in our family, and sometimes the conversations were a little bit heavy, you know, like fighting or something when you were a kid.
That's right.
But you still learn to stick up for yourself, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, but some kids nowadays don't have the skills to do what we all did when we were younger.
That's true.
The skills we take for granted.
Exactly.
That's right.
And lots of times, you know, it's people not turning off, maybe not their new modern devices. It might even be not turning off the TV so they can talk at the dinner table and actually sit together.
Right. Well, in when I was growing up, when they didn't even have TV, but we had the radio, we listened to radio shows, but we'd listen to them together, and then we could also comment on the radio show.
Very good.
That's right. Technology through the ages has become more and more personalized.
Right.
So before, it used to be something everyone could do.
Together.
Now, it's everyone does it individually.
Their own thing. That's true. Right.
They have their own cell phone and their own earbuds, and they're all on their own playlist, and they're not communicating.
That's right.
So we have to pick up on this skill. We have to revisit the skills in this digital age, and that's what we're doing on pages 32 and 33. Today, we're going to start at page 33, and we're going to talk about the 3 basic parts that we need. Let's name what they are. The first one is
the greeting.
The second one?
The talk.
And the third one is the finish.
Greeting, talk, and finish. Sounds easy, so let's start out with the greeting, and let's read that first.
Shepherd breaks the conversation into 3 basic parts. The greeting. The greeting is fairly simple. Hi, I'm Allison. Nice to meet you. Or if you've met before, good to see you. Or nice to see you again. Don't wait for the perfect icebreaker to occur to you, says Deborah Fine, author of Beyond Texting, The Fine Art of Face-to-Face Communication for Teenagers. You can just say hello and ask a genuine question. Great shoes. Where did you get them?
Oftentimes, we don't know how to start a conversation. We want to have an icebreaker, something that kind of releases the tension. Maybe it's a joke or a comment, just to make people feel more relaxed with each other.
Well, do you usually, you know, to say who you are, the hello, I'm Doris, you know, don't you start out like that?
Hello, I'm Ben. Nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. And then if you say, well, it's good to see you again, well, it's nice to see you again, those are simple things.
That's right. Usually after you say your name, you will say something to try to make a connection with the person. Either it's the first time you've met them or you've met them before, to kind of establish how you know them.
Exactly. And I like a greeting like it's nice to see you again. It's recognizing the fact that, yes, I have met you before, and I want to sound very pleasant when I approach you.
Now, that's if you have seen them before. But, you know, sometimes when people don't know what to say, they have these things they call icebreakers, you know, that will help you break the ice. It's like it's cold and nobody knows what to say. It's not very friendly. And you have to say something to break the ice. That's
exactly.
Kind of an interesting term.
It is. And it means just to make people feel comfortable and relaxed. And when you're not comfortable with conversation, you don't know what to say after, "Hi, I'm Ruth."
And a lot of times people talk about the weather.
Yeah,
don't they?
That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly right, Doris. Don't talk about religion or politics. Talk about the weather.
And it's interesting to see that different cultures have different icebreakers. So in America, we like to talk about the weather because it's something that everybody understands.
Yeah.
Everyone can talk about it. And everyone has experienced the same weather. But, you know, in different cultures, they might have different icebreakers.
Well, when I first came to Asia, people didn't always have an awful lot to eat, and they say, "Nichibala meo."
That's
have
right.
Have you had enough to eat or not?
I've heard that
we
many
don't say it
times.
Anymore, Miss.
Yeah.
That's a too much now.
Actually, someone just said that to me the other day, someone
really?
That I didn't know.
They said Nichibala meo.
Yeah.
And it, My mother still says that in English. Yeah.
Well, when I first came here, I was always nervous because I thought when someone said that to me, they were going to invite me to lunch, and I wasn't sure I wanted to go.
That's right.
If you say no, they say, "Well, come on, I'll take you out."
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first time I came here. Chilame. Uh-huh. Oh, everybody.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you think about it, it's the same as saying ni hao. It's the same as saying hello. It's not really, have you eaten yet? It's
great
more,
day today.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea of an icebreaker is to try to find something in common,
That's something
you can share with the other person.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's very important to have eaten because in Chinese culture, food's pretty important.
That's right.
And also, you know, sometimes when there's been a lot of weather disasters in the world, which we've experienced in 2015, people do want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think it's interesting, though, people don't just talk about the weather. They complain about the weather. That's
yes.
usually what it is.
Oh, bad weather again today.
It's
too
so
hot.
That's right.
But anyway, don't wait for the perfect one. And this is talking about face-to-face communication for teenagers. That was the book that Deborah Fine wrote. So she's trying to emphasize the fact that teenagers are the ones who have the problem. People Lois's age, we have no problem, Lois, right?
Well, right.
Not
but,
so
you know,
much.
Sometimes I think the parents are a little younger than me. Maybe they haven't been having a lot of conversations with their children, and maybe that's why the children are lacking in the conversational department.
So what can you say, Ruth?
Well, after you say hello, you ask or make a genuine question or comment, something that the other person can pick up on and then answer. Like, they give an example, "Great shoes, where did you get them?"
Now, you don't want to always ask how much did they cost.
No.
Although Chinese like to know, I like to know sometimes, you know, well, how much did they cost? Maybe I want to buy them. If they cost too much, I don't want to buy them. But you're not supposed to talk about that.
Maybe just say, are they expensive or were they inexpensive? That's more appropriate.
Yeah, you shouldn't even say that. Just say they're beautiful. Great.
And in order to do this, you have to be an observant person.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have to be noticing or trying to pick up on things about another person. That's
mm-hmm.
also part of being a good conversationalist.
Right. That's right. I think that sometimes we talk about things that are too common. But if we are observant, and I think if we have an encouraging attitude, we can have a really great start of a conversation, a really good icebreaker.
So the greeting, of course, is what we always have to have, a greeting. You just go up and say something to somebody without at least hello or how are you or where have you been or something. But the next part is the actual talk itself. And I think what they're saying here is good in a speech, too. You have the opening, the main part of your speech, and the closing. So these are very fundamental things. So the opening has to be good,
mm-hmm.
but the main part. What is the main part? That's the talk. Let's read about it.
The talk. A conversation is a volley, Fine says, so it's good to be prepared with a simple one-sentence answer to questions such as, "How are you?" and "How was your trip?" Instead of saying just, "Okay," or "Fine," you might say, "Good. I finally managed to get a run in this morning." This gives the other person something to respond to. "Really? I run?" When meeting new people, try to avoid negative pronouncements, moping, and self-pity, Shepherd says. And don't get too personal too fast. Shepherd likes to see an initial conversation proceed from pleasantries, "Haven't I seen you at my kids' soccer games?" to an exchange of facts. "Yes, I've been coaching for 3 years." to an exchange of opinions about the facts. It's great that everyone gets a chance to play.
I really like the first phrase of this section. It says, a conversation is a volley. That means sending something back and forth, like the game of volleyball.
Volleyball. I like volleyball.
I love volleyball.
Back and forth, not just one person holding it, but you take turns, right?
Yes, so you say a sentence or two, and then the other person says a sentence or two. So the important thing is to give them something to respond to.
Like, how are you?
I'm fine.
How was your trip?
It was really great. How was your trip?
See, then you have to say beyond that. Like, for instance, Ruth, we could say something like, how was your trip to Shanghai? Then you can say, oh, I've been there. So you have to give them something they can pick up on, don't you?
That's right. I like it where it says here, too, that in line 20, instead of saying just, okay, fine, I liked it, those are dead ends. They don't give the other person anything to respond to, and
that's
does not keep the conversation going.
You need to give them an open road, something that they can respond to.
Right. And like Lois said, they were saying, oh, I'm just watching a certain game or a football game or something. Then they can, oh, do you like sports? That gives them something to respond
to,
doesn't it?
I try to find out who they're cheering for, what their favorite team is, perhaps your favorite player. And I'm really into baseball, so I really like to talk baseball. So
now, if the people don't pick up on their volleyball speech, then you can go to another subject, too. You could talk about something else. Sports are great, you know, but I really like reading. Have you read anything good lately? So you can go to another subject and do the same thing.
That's right. I think that conversations, it's important to not go too deep at the very beginning, but also you want to get deep at some point. So the very beginning of the conversation, you might say something that everyone can answer, you can answer very quickly, and then get deeper and deeper as the conversation goes on.
And yet a conversation is also kind of like a wave. You go deep and then you come back up a little bit and go deep again.
That's right.
It's all and try to bring everybody in on it, like we try to do in our classroom here. We each have a few little comments, but we don't want to talk too long. We like to have each other give talks about it,
right? That's right, yeah.
And it's important when you are having a conversation to give the other person something to respond to.
Right. Mm-hmm. To open it up by saying something. Have you ever been there, wherever the place is, or have you ever done that? Or you need to give them something they can respond to, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Like when I know someone has been to a city a lot more than I have been, I will often say, I'm going to this city, where should I go first and why? And then you've just invited them to a conversation, and they generally, if it's a place they have really enjoyed visiting, they just go off with their conversation, and it's very engaging.
Well, now, these are kind of positive things. There is the second thing, there's a little dot here by that, in line 25, it says, when you meet new people, and I think always, try to avoid negative pronouncements. Is this like an announcing or a pronouncement, right?
A pronouncement is just making a statement of fact. And usually it's something like, oh, it's a terrible day.
That's self-pity or moping. Oh, I have so much to do, I'll never get it done.
Yeah, nobody likes nobody enjoys having a sad conversation like that. I think that two people, they have an opportunity to encourage each other. When two people are together and they're talking to each other, it's a wonderful opportunity to lift each other up.
And if you aren't feeling too well, I say, well, how are you today? And you might say, oh, not bad. But if you say, oh, I feel terrible and I just couldn't get up, and pretty soon we all feel tired. So you have to be careful. about your conversation that doesn't drag people down.
That's right. And also this idea of pronouncements. If, you know, someone says, oh, you know, Ruth, how are you? I broke up with my boyfriend. I mean, that comes, you don't want to talk about that, especially at the beginning of a conversation. No. That's a pronouncement.
That's true. Then don't get, that's too personal too fast.
Exactly.
Isn't it? Don't get too personal too fast. So those are some things not to do. But the person that's writing this now, who is writing this? Margaret Shepherd. She's the author of this book. And she has to, goes on to say that she likes to see the beginning or the initial conversation go from, proceed from nice things, which are pleasantries, mm-hmm. and to go on to something else. So she says there's a kind of a progression here.
That's right. You go from the pleasantries, the haven't I seen you here before, do you often come here, to exchanging information, more like facts. Oh, yes, you've seen me here. I've been coming here for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on to exchange of opinion. It's kind of a progression. Pleasantries, facts, opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you have to also know who you're talking to, right? You shared more deeply with people you know really well, but you're not going to go that deep with people who are you've either just met or they're really truly just an acquaintance.
Right. Well, you exchange some kind of opinions and facts and things like that, but you don't want to go too deeply into it at first.
That's right. And if you go too deep too soon, people will get uncomfortable and they won't really know exactly what to say back to you, what to respond.
Well, it might be kind of boring, or it might be a touchy subject. You try to don't talk too much about politics and things like that.
Well, then, when you're having an uncomfortable conversation, the instinct is to want to get away from it right away. You don't want to, so that ends the conversation there because you want to escape.
Be sure that everybody that's standing around has a chance to say something. If you're talking about a certain thing, like you say, well, we just came back from Shanghai and we're talking about it and you mentioned something, but maybe Lois hasn't said anything, I'll say, well, Lois, have you been there? Mm-hmm. I'll try to bring her into the conversation,
yeah.
Right?
Right. And that's a very nice thing to do. That's a very polite thing to do. And that's also being a pleasant person.
Yeah. One thing that I think about when I think about the new age, this young generation, is that kids nowadays, just like me, have a very little adventure when they get on their cell phones. It's a practiced routine. They text somebody and then they text back. But a conversation is so exciting. It's kind of like a dance. You don't know where you're going to go next.
You're digging for information, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And you can look at their face mm-hmm. and you can kind of, you can see what they're thinking when
there's
you say
it. There's excitement in it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, not just the
words. It's incredibly exciting when you get into it.
Right. And that's because conversation, a lot of it is nonverbal, and you can't get that when you text. All you see is the words, but there's all the nuances and the facial expressions and things that add to the conversation, help you lead it in the right direction.
Exactly.
And there's more people involved in it, like we have four people here now, not just two people. You know, there's more people, which is good.
Exactly. And you know, just like I said, it's a dance. So when do you say something? Do you say a short sentence? Do you say a long one? Do you say a deep sentence? Do you say something that's just common and everyone would know? You never know. It's exciting and it's new.
And it's also important that not everybody is good at it at the beginning. And it's okay to have a conversation that maybe didn't go very well. You learn from it and then you try again with someone else. It takes practice.
It's true. And I think, too, maybe sometimes we have to remember, too, I've pointed it out to my 20-year-old kids. Don't be too familiar either. This younger generation tends to be too familiar, and I find that oftentimes rude. And you can't assume you're only in your first decade as an adult.
Well,
so you've got to be careful of
cultural
that.
Differences, and you don't ask people usually how much their salary is or how old they are, so forth. But those are kind of things that are cultural differences too. But the main thing is that you make it a volley back and forth. But when you finish talking for a little while, you don't want to go on and on. How do you finish a conversation? We want to finish it. So let's read about finishing the conversation.
The finish. When you're ready to end a conversation, you can give the person a hint that you will be moving on, Fine says. It's been great hearing about your trip. Or, it's been great talking to you. Or maybe, you're juggling a lot, but it sounds like fun. Shepherd says there's nothing wrong with a direct approach. I have to talk to a couple more people. At a party, 10 minutes is plenty of time to spend with someone you genuinely like, Shepherd says, and you can avoid awkwardness by taking the initiative when a conversation is reaching its natural conclusion.
All right, after you've done the greeting, you've had the talk, now it's time to finish the conversation. And you need to give the other person a hint that it's time to stop this one and move on.
Yeah, this is not easy. I'm really looking forward to hearing the advice that they're going to tell us.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of figuring out when, you know. And you talk to people, and then you don't want to talk too long, and you don't want to make it too short. So it's one of those things you just have to kind of practice a little bit.
Yes, it is, because, again, it's an unspoken rule, and you can almost sense from the other person, okay, I'm losing their interest, it's time to end this conversation and move on. So then they give some good ways to do that.
Right.
Right, public speakers will often say, leave with them wanting more, right, which means you finish before they'd actually like you to finish. Well, then they invite you back.
Well, if you're at a party, it says 10 minutes is plenty of time. So maybe not even that long, but I mean, don't go on and talk to that person all evening. Go and talk to other people too.
That's right. So you can say, oh, I loved hearing about your trip, or that sounds like a very interesting experience.
Let's see what Lois is doing over here, right?
Yes, but I need to catch Margaret before she leaves.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is really difficult because it's not something that you can plan.
Right.
You have to think about what you're going to say in the midst of the conversation. You're not going to know before you start the conversation how the conversation will end. So you have to do a little bit of juggling.
It can be awkward,
like, see,
yeah.
And again, this is something you have to work together with the other person, and they have to be willing to make it come to an end, not just keep going on and on, or it's very difficult to end.
Yeah, like I said, it's kind of like a dance. You are doing your dance, and they're doing their dance, and you're trying to make it work together. And sometimes you might step on their toes. Sometimes you might make mistakes. But it's really a whole lot of fun.
Well, actually, it should be fun. But when it's time to close, maybe nobody else wants to be the one to cut it off. So maybe you have to be the one to stop it, to take the initiative, to take control. And like Ruth said, well, I'd really love talking to you, but I do have to see so-and-so before they leave. You have to say, I really love to talk to you, but I'm going to talk to somebody else now. You can't say it that way.
No, you can't. You have to be polite. And it's also important, I think, to acknowledge you enjoyed the conversation, because sometimes I've been in a conversation, and then all of a sudden the person says, oh, Ben, wait, and then they leave. And then you feel like, well, I guess I wasn't important at all.
Yeah, it kind of hurts,
too. You have to know how to tune it off.
Oh, Ruth, you saying that makes me sad, because I do that all the time.
Oh, Ben,
learned something, Ben.
Well, that's why we have the lesson here today.
Exactly.
So it's a skill, isn't it?
Exactly.
So we'll check Ben out later on that. Okay, yeah. You know, Ben, because of that, I'm going to make you read these talking points. Can you read those right there?
All right. Here are tips for better conversation from Deborah Fine. Dig deeper. How are you? Is more of a greeting than a real question. So if you really want to know, ask a second question.
By the way, that how are you, sometimes people go, oh, I don't feel well and I'm doing this. Don't talk too much about it.
That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
It's just polite.
I'm good. I'm fine. It's simple
and
enough.
And you? Yeah,
it's a greeting, not a real question.
That's right. How was your weekend? How is the new project going? Those are great, good greetings.
But when you answer, don't give them too many details and go on and on. What's fine, we're making progress, but don't go into all the details.
That's why conversation is a volley. You say one or two sentences and then let the other person take a turn.
Yeah, I think the second point is also really important. Try a compliment. Genuine praise puts people at ease. And it's very true. I can tell when I encourage somebody that they're relaxed and they have more of a trust.
That's
for me.
True.
Yeah.
To compliment somebody, but make it sincere and true. What else?
Play the game. Information fuels conversation. So if someone asks a question, disclose something the other person can work with.
Yeah, for example, we talked about the question, how was your trip? Then you can say, oh, I really enjoyed the food in Shanghai. Then that gives the person something else to respond to.
Right.
Yeah, and they can respond or they don't have to respond.
Right.
You have to also be prepared for that. Some people are just the type of people, I've worked with them. They hear that, and that's the end of the conversation. That's just the way they are.
So just remember that. Now, there's two more things here.
Ask open-ended questions. Bypass questions that are likely to elicit one-word answers, such as, did you have a good vacation? Try open-ended questions, such as, what did you do on vacation?
An open-ended question is one that cannot be answered with yes or no. In other words, I can say, how are you? And Ben would say, fine. Or I could say, Ben, tell me about yourself. That opens it up for a lot of information.
That's important. So what's the last point, Ben?
Well, this one's really interesting. Look around. A diploma on the wall, a cat bed on the floor, or a photo on the desk can be a good fodder for conversation.
Fodder is a great word. Mm. That just means fuel or feed.
Or food, right? Food for conversation.
That's right. Because we think of fodder as something you give cattle to eat. But it just gives you some information to get the conversation going. That's why I said yesterday to be observant.
Well, and I'm looking around right now, and I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and it says that we have to make our conversation come to an end. So how can we do that gracefully?
It has been great being here with you.
Yes, yeah. I've enjoyed it.
Hope to see you again.
Yeah, see you again
next time. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.